Today's Amud is Yivames Ayin Beis Amud Aleph. We're holding an Ayin Aleph from a Beis, 14 lines from the bottom, Amar Rabba. So says the Gemara, Amar Rabba Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, Leidnitna Priyas Mila Avram Avinu. There are two parts really to every, technically more than two parts if you include Metzitza, but two parts of the actual Mila part of every Bris Mila. First of all, the Mayol, he takes off the Ar HaMila, the Arla, that's the Mila part of the Bris Mila. And then after he takes off the Arla, there's still a very thin layer of skin that's underneath the Arla that also covers the Atara. That thin layer of skin is known as the Ar HaPriya. So to get rid of the Ar HaPriya, the Mayel performs a second step of Mila known as Priya. Priya, he tears this Ar HaPriya and he folds it back. Generally, he tears it with his nails. In fact, there's a medrash, the Yalkut Shemini, which says that David HaMelech, he said about all of his different Evarim, that he does a mitzvah with each and every Evar, and when he got to his nails, he said that he performs the mitzvah of Priya with his nails. You see, Priya is supposed to be done with the nails. Al Kabanim, it's a second stage of Mila. Technically, there's Mitzitza after that also, but Priya is the second part of the Mila. There's the Mila, and then there's the Priya, which is folding back, tearing and folding back, the Ar HaPriya. So says Rabbi Bar Yitzchak, Amar Rav, that like didn't the Priyas Mila LaAvram Avinu. That even though Avram Avinu got the mitzvah of Mila, like we had before, it was Yeshnei Lefnei Adibur, it existed even before Matan Torah, even though Avram Avinu was already commanded in the mitzvah of Mila, he was not given the mitzvah of Priya. Priya was only given later Bizman Yahushua. How do we know that? Shenemar, as the Pasuk says, during the times of Yahushua, it says that after they got into Eretz Yisrael, Be'esahi Amar Hashem al Yahushua, Asei Lecha Charbei Surim, and the Pasuk continues, you should make for yourself a sharp tool, Vishuv Mol as B'nei Yisrael Sheinis, and you should give Klal Yisrael a second Bris Mila. Shuv, again, a second time, give them a Bris Mila. So, So now they already had a Bris Mila. So what does it mean to give a second Bris Mila? It means Priya. This is a pasuk that's referring to Priya. Ask the Gemara, Vidil Mahanach Deloy Maho. Maybe, how do you know it's referring to a second stage of Mila? Maybe it's just the regular Mila, and it's just the regular Mila. There's no second din of Priya. And when it says to give them another Mila, it's because it's discussing those people that in the Midbar, they didn't receive a Bris Mila. Dechsev, like the Pasuk says, Ki mulim hayu kol ha'am ha'yotzim, v'chol ha'am yoloidim, that all the people that left Mitzrayim, and they were born in the Midbar, so they didn't perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila. We'll discuss soon why they didn't, but they didn't perform the mitzvah of Bris Mila, so maybe that's who the Pasuk's referring to by Yahushua. That's who we gave a Bris Mila to, not a second stage of Mila known as Priya. Rather, it's the regular Mila, just he's giving it to more people because there were people who didn't yet have their Bris Mila. So says the Gemara, it can't be referring to people who didn't yet have a Bris Mila, because MK Mai Shuv. What does it mean? Again, go again and give a Bris Mila. They didn't yet have a Bris Mila. El Lav Lapriya. It must be it saying that besides Mila, that there's now a new step, a second step, that is known as Priya. My Sheinus, so then why does the Pasuk say Shuv, and then also say Sheinus, meaning Shuv really already means, again, give them a Bris Mila, do Priya. Why does it say a second? La'kushay Saif Mila L'tchilas Mila. That's coming to make a comparison, a hekish, between Priya and Mila, the end of Mila and the beginning of the Mila. Matchilas Mila, Mila Ma'akeves, Afsoif Mila Ma'akfimbay. Just like by the Tchilas Mila, when you get rid of the Arla skin, so it's completely Ma'akev, and if you have any amounts of Basar that are, we'll see exactly what levels of Basar, but if there's certain amounts of Basar that are left over, it's Ma'akev, so the same Malacha applies to Priya. There's such a concept of Tzitzin Ma'akvin, that if little parts of Basar of the R is left over, so then that's going to be Ma'akiv the Priya. It's considered as if he didn't do the Priya. Now, what level is Ma'akiv? Like we learned in the Mishnah, the Eluena Tzitzin Ma'akvin, Ma'akvin as Hamila. The following is considered Tzitzin, the strands of Basar of this R, of the Arla or Priya, that are Ma'akiv the Mila. It's Basar Achayfa as Raiv Ha'atara. It's when you have basar that's left over that's covering a majority of the atara. Ve'ein aicha b'truma, and someone who has such a thing, so it's considered like he's an aro, and a melo, he's not able to eat truma. Now, Amar Ravina explained the Mishnah when it said that there's a problem when there's Basar Achifes Reiv Atara, it's covering most of the Atara, the most external part of the Gid, where it starts to slope, where there's a slope and it goes down, so that's the Atara. So, what does it mean, Basar Achifes Reiv Atara? Amar Ravina Vitaim Ravim Barab, Amar Rav, Basar Achifes Reiv Goiva Shel Atara. You might have thought that it's only Ma'akev if it's covering the Reiv of the circumference. No, even if it's just in one spot, but it goes up and it covers most of the height of the Atara, so then that's also considered Tzitzinam Akvin and have to get removed. So just like there's a halacha like that when it comes to removing the Arla, so there's also a halacha like that when it comes to removing the Arha Priya. Now says the Gemara of a Midbar my time Oloi Maho. What's Taka the Pshat? Why is it that in the Midbar they didn't receive a Bris Milah? So he says the Gemara, Yivayis Ema Mishum Chol Shod Archa. It could be because they were traveling, so therefore they were too weak to be able to receive a Bris Milah. Or Yivayis Ema Mishum Deloy Nashiv Luhu Ruach Tzefaynes. Because there was no northern winds during that time that they were in the Midbar. We'll see soon why. And because there were no northern winds, so there was nothing that was going to make it sunny. And apparently when a person gets a Bris Milah, so the sun is very healthy. But being that there were no northern winds, so there was no sunny days, and therefore also it wasn't the right weather, the right climate for them to receive a bris milah. The Tanya, like we learned in the Braisa, that kol aysan arba'im shanah shayisrael b'midbar, the entire 40 years that Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar, in Yana D'Yoyma, these parashiyas, so le nashva lehem ruach tzefaynes. So there was no northern wind during the entire time. Now my time of why wasn't there northern wind? It could be nezufin havu. It's because they were like considered in nidoy after they did the cheda egel. So it's like they were in Nidoy from Hashem. That the reason why there was no northern wind is to not blow away the Nani HaKavod. Meaning, the reason why they need the northern wind for Mila is in order so that it should be sunny. But for it to be sunny, Hashem would have to blow away the Anani HaKavod, which they needed for protection, so therefore there was no way to have a northern wind. Now the Ritva points out that of course Hashem could do anything. He can make it that it doesn't blow away the Anani HaKavod and they still have the sun or whatever. Hashem has an infinite amount of ways that he can make things happen. It's just that over here the Ritva explains there was no reason to do it. Meaning Hashem can make an ace, but there was no reason over here to make an ace anyways if they can't get a Mila because of an Aines, so it's a Sakana and there's no Chiv. They're not obligated to. And therefore there was no really reason to have the nace. Says the Gemara now. And Amar Papa, Rav Papa says you can learn from here that Hilkach therefore Yayma Deiva Vyayma Deshusa on a day that's cloudy or on a day that there's a southern wind, so Loi Mahalinan Bay Veloi Misachminan. So you're not supposed to get a Bris Milah that you see directly from what we've had until now. And he also added that also it's a problem not to bloodlet Veloi Misachminan Bay, and you're not supposed to bloodlet on such a day. Now it says the Gemara that Va'idna nowadays you see that people do all these things. They get their bloodlet and they do perform Milah. And they don't check the weather forecast first. So it says the Gemara Va'inna the Dashu Bei Rabim. Nowadays everyone's doing it anyways, so there's no problem to continue because we have a cloud that when a lot of people are doing things, Dashu Bei Rabim, so then we say Shaymer Pesahim Hashem, that Hashem watches the fools. And even though it seems like it's something foolish to do, it's something that involves an element of sakana, that no, a person doesn't have to worry, because Shemir Psalm Hashem watches the fools, which is something we spoke about in a previous Arayis al-Halacha on Misach HaShabbos, maybe it was Avkof Chavtas, where this principle comes up also with regards to Mila, and bloodletting, but over there we spoke about it at length, the idea of Shemir Psalm Hashem. Says the Gemara now, Tanu Rabbanan, we learned in the Braisa, that kol aysan arba'im shanah shayisrael b'midbar, the entire 40 years that Klai Yisrael were in the Midbar, lo haya yayim shalei nashva b'ruach tzefaynes b'chatzi alayla. Even though there was no northern wind, there was always a northern wind at the moment of Chatzais. At Chatzais Halayla, there was a northern wind. And how do we know that? Shenemar, because the Pasuk says, Vayhi b'chatzi alayla, v'hashem hika kol b'char. It says the Makas b'chairis happened at Chatzais Halayla. Now says the Gemara, my Talmudah, what does one have to do with the other? Says the Gemara, Hakamash Malan de Isratzein Milsehi. The reason why we're mentioning Makas Bechari is not that that has anything to do with the Ruach Tzefaynes in the Midbar, but you see that Makas Bechari took place at Chatzais, it must be that Isratzein Milsehi. There's a concept of an Isratzein, and Chatzais Halayla is an Isratzein. So just like you see Makas Bechari happen at Chatzais, because that's an Isratzein, it's a good time, it's an opportune time, so too in the Midbar it would make sense that the northern wind occurred at Chatzos Laila, because that is an Eitz Ratzayim, which is one of the Makairis for Tikkun Chatzos, to say Dafka by Chatzos. The Gemara Brachos mentions davening for the Chorban at night, doesn't necessarily mention Chatzos Laila, talks about the different Mishmaris, which are also mentioned in Shulchan Aruch, to daven during those times. But here you have a Makar that Chatzos Laila Dafka, at the Nikud of Chatzos, so that is an Eitz Ratzayim. Says the Gemara now, Amar Rav Huna. Rav Huna says a new halacha. We mentioned in the Mishnah that an Arul is not allowed to eat truma. So Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna adds to that, that Dvar Torah Mashuch Eichel Betruma. That Mida Raisa, if you have a person that received this Vrismila, but then he pulled the Arla back, and now it's covering his Atara again. So that's called Mashuch, that he pulls his Arla. So if a person would do such a thing, midaraisa, he's still not considered an aral. He's still considered that a person who had a bris milah, and mamela midaraisa, he'd be allowed to eat truma. However, midivreim gazra love midarabana, they made a gzera that a mashach is not allowed to eat truma, mamesha nire karal, because he seems like an aral. Now, I'm not exactly sure what it means, who is exactly seeing, why is there a marasayin over here, but that's what the braisa, that's what Rav Huna says, that's a problem of marasayin, if a mashach would eat truma, so therefore they made a gzera that someone who's mashach is not allowed to eat truma. Now ask the Gemara, Meisvei, we learned in the Braisa, it says, mashach tzarach sheyimo, it says that a mashach needs to get a bris milah. So how could you say that a mashach midar Raisa is not an aral, it says that a mashach needs to get a bris milah, says the Gemara, okay, what are you talking about? Midar Rabbanan. It still could be that midar Raisa, he doesn't need to do anything. When the Braisa says, mashach tzarach sheyimo, it means midar Rabbanan he needs to get a bris milah, al tzmar Zayin, but not that midar Raisa he needs anything. Says the Gemara, that's such an obvious answer that udikarila my karila. What was the questioner even thinking? Why did he assume when he learned this braisa that the braisa had any sort of mashmais that the din is the araisa? Hatzaruch katani. And more than that, the braisa's lashon is tzaruch. And Rashi points out that if we be the araisa, so it would say that the mashuch is an aral. Why does it say a mashuch needs to do a bris mila? It sounds like it's only midrabanan. So the braisa really sounds like it's only midrabanan. So why did the makshin, why did he think that the din of mashuch is the araisa? So says the Gemara, katayi b'seifa. It's because if you look at the seifa of the braisa, the seifa has a certain mashmois that this din of mashach is the araisa. It brings it from a pasuk, like we'll see soon. The seifa of the braisa says like this, that Rabbi Yehuda Aimer, lo yimo, memeser sakani hi loy. Rabbi Yehuda says that a mashach should not receive a new bris milah, because getting a second bris milah like that could be considered a sakana. However, Amru loy, the chachamim said to Rabbi Yehuda, v'aloy harbe malu, bimei ben kuziva. What are you talking about? Many people got a milah during the times of ben kuziva, which is Bar Kochva. During that time, the Romans had made a gzera that the Yidden were not allowed to do bris milah, and those that did had to be mashach. They had to pull back the arla. So afterwards, when everything was over, so they went to get new bris milas. So harbe malu b'mei ben kuziva v'haylidu banim u'banas, and they were able to go on and have children. There was nothing wrong. There was nothing dangerous about it. They were able to have a second bris milah. Shenemar, and it's learned from a pasuk, because the Torah says himol yimol afilu me'apamim. It says himol yimol, which sounds like even 100 times. Keep going. If you're keeping mashach, you have to keep giving yourself a new bris milah. Va'imir is another makar, because the pasuk says, esbrisi hafer. Esbrisi hafer is the word hafer is extra. L'rabba is a mashach. That's coming to include a mashach. Then a mashach is considered someone who undid his bris and he has to receive a new milah. So now, before we get back to the question, the Gemara just wants to know that Maiva Aimer, why did the Chachamim feel the need to tell Rabbi Yehuda a second pasuk, a second makar? Because v'chi tema hai himo yimo l'rabbi sits in a ma'akvin es amila. Maybe you'll say that himo yimo is not coming to teach us about mashach. It's coming to teach that you have to do a bris milah even 100 times if there keeps being tzitzin. So you have to keep going back to remove those extra parts of basar. Tashema es brisi hefer l'rabbi es amashach. Es brisi hefer, another extra pasuk, can't be also talking about tzitzin. So that must be talking about mashach, that a mashach is chayiv in the new bris milah. So you see from the Chachamim that they brought psukim to prove their point that a mashach needs a bris milah, not like Rabbi Yehuda. So now, who savar, the makshin held, who assumed that from this braisa, that the din of mashach is daraisa, he asked on Rav Huna from this braisa, who savar midikanasav le'ashas karakra, from the fact that the shas, the Talmudah, from the fact that the Chachamim were bringing psukim to prove their point, so it must be daraisa he, it must be that really this din is daraisa. V'layi, but really it's not true. Midrabanan, it's really only the Rabbanan, v'kras machta ba'alma, and therefore there's no kasha from here on Rav Huna. However, says the Gemara, there's a kasha from the following braisa. Meisvei, we learned in the braisa, that tumtum ain oicha b'truma. That a tumtum is not allowed to eat truma. The reason is because maybe he's a zachar, and in which case he's an aral. On the tzad that he's a zachar, a tumtum is covered up, so there's no way to know if he's a zachar or an ikeva. And being that there's a tzad that he's a zachar, and if he's a zachar, he never had a bris milah, surely he's covered. So therefore, he cannot eat truma because he might be an aral. Nasha va'avadav eichlan. However, his wife, or avadim, they are allowed to eat truma. The Gemara will discuss that shortly. Mashach v'nailad keshu mahol. If someone's a mashach, or he was born mahol, but he never did a tavas dam bris, hare elu eichlan. So they're allowed to eat truma. It says straight out that a mashach is allowed to eat truma, meaning that there is no gzeir durabana. So this is mamish atyufta and rafuna, like we'll see. But once he quoted the brisa, let's quote the hemshach. Androgynous, someone who has simanim of both a man and a female, so he has both signs, a beri b'fnei atzmai, he's eichel b'truma. He's allowed to eat truma because both a zachar and an akeva are allowed to eat truma. So as long as he's mal, the zachar part, so then he could eat truma. And ve'ein aichel b'kachim. However, he's not allowed to eat kachim. Rashi explains it's referring to kachik kadashim, which are parts that a woman is not allowed to eat from. So since there's a tzad that maybe an androgynous is a woman, so therefore he cannot eat kachim. And the tumtum, even though we mentioned before, he can't eat truma, really he can't eat kachim either, because it's a tzad that he's a nekeva, and therefore he cannot eat kachim, which can only be eaten by a man. So the Gemara will get back to why we mentioned tumtum twice. But Ketani Mias, the reason why we're mentioning this brisa to begin with, is because it says in the brisa Lehedya, that mashach v'neilat keshu mal are elu eichlin. It says straight out that someone who's mashach, there's no gzeir derabanan. A mashach is allowed to eat truma. So Tiyufta de Rav Huna, this is Tiyufta, it refutes the Shita Rav Huna, to which the Gemara says, yes, Tiyufta, it refutes Rav Huna, and really, from this brisa, it's clear that a mashach is allowed to eat truma, there's no sort of marisayin. Now Amar Mar, we quoted before, that tumtum ein aichel b'truma, that even though a tumtum cannot eat truma, because maybe he's an aral, maybe he's a zachar, in which case he's an aral, but nasha va'avadav eichlem, but his wife and his avadim, they are allowed to eat. Ask the Gemara, nasha v'tumtum minale. How on earth does a tumtum ever get a wife? Ilema de kaddish, that he marries a woman, the time we learned in the Braisa, tumtum shekidesh kedusha of kedusha, niskadesh kedusha of kedusha, that if a tumtum marries, so his kedushin is valid, because maybe he's a zachar marrying in the keva, and if he gets married too, meaning a man gives the tumtum kesef kedushin, so then he's also married because maybe it's a she, and in which case the man married a woman. Now, even though it's true that we say that the kedushin is chal, is typhus, the meaning that there's a requirement for a get, emer d'amar l'chumra, that was only to say at l'chumra, that if they want to then separate, they need to get a divorce, they need to get a get. But l'kula, mi'am minan, did we ever say that even l'kula, l'chayr safik isha, hu vein isha, mekadeshes isha, it's a safik isha, and an isha cannot be mekadeshes an isha, so if the tumtum married a woman, or if a man married the tumtum, then it's also a zachar and a zachar. Either way, there's always going to be problems, there's always going to be a suffix that maybe the condition was not typhus. So how could a tumtum have a wife that you say nashav could be ketruma? So Amar Abaye, kesha beitz av nikara is mibachotz. When the Braisa says that a tumtum, his wife, is able to eat truma, it's talking about a case where it's nikar that he's a zachar, because his beitzim are nikar mibachotz, just the gid is covered, and that's why he's still considered an aral. He cannot eat truma because he's an aral. But at the same time, if he marries a woman, so the kedushin is chal, and it's even chal, even lekula, because his beitzim are mibachotz, so it's nikar that he's a zachar. Rava Amar Maynashav Imai. Rava says, no, it's not talking about Beitza Mibachotz. The Braisa is talking about a regular tumtum. He's completely covered up. And when it says that his wife could eat truma, it means Nashav. It means his Maynashav Imai. When it says Nashav, it means really his mother. That if his mother, if a Bas Yisrael marries a Kayin, and they get divorced, or the Kayin dies, but they have a child, and the child's a tumtum, so then the mother is allowed to eat truma, machmas the son, who's a tumtum. So now I ask the Gemara that imay pshita. Why would I think otherwise? Says the Gemara, "Ma with the tema ma'ilin meichel she'ain ma'ilin ena meichel." You might have thought that only someone who's able to have children himself could be meichel the mother in truma, but someone who cannot have children, like a tumtum, cannot be meichel kamash malon. That no, even though he cannot have children, he could still be meichel. The reason why you would have had a havamina that you need someone dafka, someone who could have children, Rashi explains, is because the makar is from yelid beisai. Since the makar is from yelid beisai, so maybe you would think it has to be someone who could have yiladim, someone who could have children, kamash malan, to know that that's not a requirement. Now Tashema, we learned in the Braisa, the end of the previous Braisa, it says that Tumtum Eino Eicha Loi Betruma V'Loi Bekadshim. It says that the Tumtum, I mean, the Gemara is coming to prove Abai and Rava. Abai and Rava had two different explanations for the Braisa, for the Reisha of the Braisa. Abai says it's talking about Beitza of Nikarzim Bachotz, and Rava says that Nashav is referring to the mother. So the Gemara is coming to bring a Raya to one of the Shitas. So the Gemara is saying, if you look at the end of the Braisa, we have a Raya which way it is. Because the end of the Braisa says, again, Tumtum Inuaycha Lai Betrum of Lai Bekachim. It repeats Tumtum again. So Bisham Allah Baye, Tana Resha Aro, Vadai, Vikatani Seifa, Safik Aro. So according to Baye, everything makes sense. The Resha was talking about where it was Beitza Mibachotz, in which case he's a Vadai Aro. And it was saying that he cannot eat Truma. And then the Seifa goes and says, not only could a Vadai Aro not eat Truma, but even a Safik Aro, meaning a Tumtum who's completely covered, he's not allowed to eat Truma. Even though he's completely covered and it's only a Safik Aro, he's still not allowed to eat Truma. El Rava, but according to Rava, that the Reisha was also talking about a Vadai Arol. So Tumtum the Seifa Lamali, why does the Braisa have to repeat itself in the Seifa? So says the Gemara. The my tumtum aro. When the Braisa and the Seifa says that a tumtum cannot eat truma, it's not even really referring to a tumtum. It's really referring to a vadai aro. That a vadai aro is not allowed to eat truma. Well, says the Gemara, that makes no sense. That's like the opposite of the baye. That's the polar opposite of a baye. And it's shver because hashta safik aro layachol. You learned the ratio of the Braisa is talking about a real tumtum, and therefore he's a safik aro. And a safik aro, the Braisa says is not allowed to eat truma. So how can you then tell me that the Seifa is talking about a Vadei Arol. Vadei Arol Achol, you would think that a Vadei Arol could eat. Even a Safik Arol cannot eat Truma. For sure, a Vadei Arol, says the Gemara, that ain't a Chanami, but Matam Kamar. According to Rava, he'll tell you that the Braisa and the Seifa is coming to explain the Reisha. It's not a new Chiddush. It's an explanation of the Reisha. That Matam Tumtum Eino Eicha B'Truma. What's the reason that a Tumtum cannot eat Truma? The reason is, it's Mipnei Shesafik Arol. It's because he's a Safik Arol, and the problem with that is that V'Arol Eino Eicha Loi B'Truma V'Loi B'Kadoshim is that an Arol cannot eat Truma and Kachim. So the Seif of the Braisa, according to Rava, is really just explaining the Reisha.